Welcome to episode 123 of the Geocaching Podcast, GPS Maze Trip Report, recorded live on September 29th, 2009. I'm your host, XPunkX, with
Daryl W4.
If you want to participate in our show today, please call 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. You can also join live in our chat room to participate with our other listeners. That can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.info. Click the Join Now to Participate button on the right. We have a voicemail line, which can be found at 206-3503-GPS, and we're on Twitter at twitter.com/GCPodcast. Well, Daryl, welcome back.
Thanks. It's been a pretty busy weekend, though.
It has. From what I've seen, you've taken quite a trip. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, Saturday we went out to Kitchener, Ontario for the GPS Maze and more specifically, I guess, the event that went along with it for the, quote, opening weekend, even though it opened, I think it was 2 weeks ago. So that was a big, exciting trip and a lot of fun venturing off into a new land with the iPhone for the first time and discovering things like the GPS doesn't work if you're in airplane mode. So I couldn't use the geocaching app at all, really. It just was not playing happy.
That's not good.
No. So I figured out that I have to turn it on. I've got the data roaming off, but that was a big thing. I didn't want to pay any of the Rogers fees for venturing over there. Just, you know, I didn't need the phone really. So why not just turn it off and save the batteries? But apparently you just can't do that on the iPhone.
Yeah, that's, you know,
at least not if you want the GPS enabled. Now, Sunday was our casual caching day. We decided to go out and pick up a few Earth caches. We had a United States Air Force travel bug that we had to get a picture in front of the local Air Force base, which is actually the only military base, from what I understand, in the state. So, you know, we're kind of lucky, I guess, to be close enough to help it on its mission. You know, drop that. And also picked up a couple of challenge caches that were recently published in the area. So basically, I just had a caching weekend.
I unfortunately did not do a caching weekend. I had my new job. I started last Monday, and I found out Monday morning that they had their end of the year physical inventory at this last weekend. And so I actually had to go out and do inventory in a freezer that was -8 degrees. Let me just say, it's a little bit cold.
Now, did they give you the appropriate attire, or did you have to provide it yourself?
I had to provide it myself, which is fine, because I knew I was going to be probably in the freezer, so I went ahead and brought all of the appropriate attire. It was funny, because I had my sweatshirt and my winter coat and my gloves, and it was actually funny, because when I went out, we were done by 9 o'clock, so it wasn't that big of a deal. We started at 4 in the morning, almost 5 in the morning, and by 9 o'clock, I went out and almost threw my winter coat back on again. Then I was like, oh yeah, I don't need that when I'm outside.
Yeah. And you weren't moving around to generate the heat like you do when you're out caching.
That is true. You know, standing counting frozen things is not quite the same as if you're caching.
No, not at all.
But it wasn't too bad. So I recovered from that fairly quickly. It was kind of funny, actually, too, because the refrigerator felt fairly cool until I was in the freezer. Then when I came out of the freezer, the refrigerator felt fairly warm.
Yeah, it's all relative anyway.
Yeah, that is true. Well, Daryl, there's a few things in the news here. Can you tell us about them?
Well, the big news is that Groundspeak rolled out their latest bug fix for geocaching.com this evening. Some of the highlights in this release are an increased number of max results for your bookmark list. They reinstated the log deletion notifications. Roots containing an ampersand or apostrophe in the name now are properly saved. They changed the history text to more on the current trackable inventory to correct an error there. And they've greatly increased the reliability of the caches along a route pocket queries. And if you'll remember, we've mentioned a couple of times that they've had some issues with caches being left out of those pocket queries. And in some cases, it would group everything to one side of your route and not take the entire route. Well, that's all supposed to be fixed in this latest release. Now, as of the recording, I haven't even been able to confirm that geocaching.com has gone down for this update, so we can't really speak to whether it's gone out or not, but you can read the notes in the link from the show notes or from the chat room. Now, Andy, we're going to be having that Midwest meetup. Can you give us a little bit more info on that?
Sure. We are going to be having our Midwest meetup, and it's less than a month away. So if you'd like to join us, please make sure that you make your way to South Bend, Indiana on October 24th and join us for some food, some fun, some chocolate, and some live recording of the podcast. That event is GC1YRRG, and we would love to have you guys. So if you could make it out to our Midwest meetup, you know, there'll be me and Daryl and anyone else that can show up. And we are going to record a live podcast, so that ought to be a lot of fun.
Geocaching question of the day. Bad cop asks, you answer.
Hello, this is the Bad Cop, and welcome to the geocaching question of the day. Each weekday, I ask a geocaching-related question to my Twitter audience, and then summarize the replies and post it on my website. I hope this little project will keep you up to date on the ever-changing face of geocaching. Recently, I've asked the question, have you visited the GPS Adventure Maze? And if so, where did you see it? Only 28% of those that replied have walked through the exhibit. The majority have seen the maze, along with me, in Washington State. There have also been many in Iowa, Connecticut, and New York. So tell me, have you visited the GPS Adventure Maze? Want to find out more? Follow me, the Bad Cop, on Twitter.
Well, it's been about 2.5 years since Groundspeak and the Minotaur Mazes opened the GPS Adventure Maze exhibit in Indiana, not far from the Midwest Geobash. Attendees were given an introduction to GPS technology and the world of geocaching, but geocachers get the rare GPS Adventure icon on their profile. Many of our listeners have had the chance to visit, and if you're listening, we'd love to hear from you. Just hit the request to talk button, and we'll get you on the phone here, or the star 8 on the if you're on the phone to let us know that you have something that you'd like to add, and we'll get you on the show. And as Daryl mentioned earlier, he had the chance to check out this maze exhibit with its opening this weekend. Where was that at, Daryl?
Well, that was in Kitchener, Ontario, at the Children's Museum, and the event for the maze itself is GC1TEZH, and that's what actually gets you that special rare icon. And it's going to be there through January 3rd, 2010. And we'll put those links in the show notes to the museum and to the event, or actually to the maze, and also in the chat room. But when I was there, I did get some photos too.
We'll go ahead and post those photos up into our chat room and also our show notes. The GPS Adventure Maze can be found at gpsmaze.com. It was launched at Ministra, which is in Muncie, Indiana, on June 3rd, 2007. And they also then had a Discovery Museum and Planetarium in Bridgeport, Connecticut, Rochester Museum in Rochester, New York, Pacific Science Center in Seattle, Washington, and the Putnam Museum in Davenport, Iowa. So those are the places it's been, and the upcoming locations are going to be at February 20th through April 18th, 2010, in the Maryland Science Center in Baltimore, Maryland, May 28th through September 6th, 2010, in Turtle Bay Exploration Park in Redding, California. And you can request the maze to come to a place near you through the GPS Maze website. But Daryl, what was the maze like? Can you tell us a little bit what your experience was with the maze?
Yeah, having heard a bunch of information about it through the past attendees, it's very much like what I had expected it to be. And one of the things I was most interested in is how they constructed this thing, because it sounds pretty cool to have a traveling exhibit like that. So I kind of went into it from, what information do they have and how is this thing put together and, you know, how does it make a maze? And, I used to do these cool mazes every Halloween, cool labyrinths, not really mazes because they didn't have many dead ends, but just a fun party thing. And from that aspect, I was impressed. From the information aspect, it wasn't as much meat as I kind of had hoped for from the exhibit, but it was much more well-rounded and a lot more fun than I had expected. So I was very happy to find that out.
Now, what can we expect when we get there? I mean, it's an indoor maze, correct?
Yes, it is. Now, what you're going to do is walk up to this maze, and it's just this massive pipes, kind of like you'd see in scaffolding, to give you kind of a mental picture of it, tied together with these 4-foot-tall banners occupying the space in there to make the actual maze. So you walk up to this thing, and each of these banners has information and tells you how to start. Well, the first thing you have to do is pick up a color-coded card that has kind of a compass heading on it, and that's what you have to walk through the maze and get it stamped. And then on the floor, since you can't use GPSs in a building, they have these pads that tell you X number of feet to this satellite room in each of the, I'll call them caches, but they're satellite rooms that you're trying to find. And they've got different names for them, like one was a city, one was a Seattle, and you just go to these different rooms, you find your way there, and they're basically in the four corners of the exhibit. And when you get to any one of these rooms, there's some information to help you out along the way. They have little puzzles that you have to try to figure out, and little doors, full width, but, kind of like changing room stall doors, I guess, with coded locks. It's the locks that you see on a lot of the stores and whatever, where it's two columns, or actually it's two rows and like five columns of numbers, so that you press in the different numbers, and you have to solve the puzzle. And on the door, they have the spoiler, which actually tells you tells you the code to get in. So you can go in and explore the rooms, and there's some information in there. Again, it's not as deep as you might like, but it's great for people just getting started to give them an overview. And each of those rooms has different things, and then you walk out and you try to get to the next room and so on and so forth. And it has, in the first room we went into, information about GPS and navigational technology. And if you go through the photos, you can see some of that information in there. And again, not really deep, but they had a little interactive thing for the kids with strings to try to figure out where you are and kind of give you a feel for the way that the GPS technology worked. In another room, it talked about what you should pack. And that's one of those kind of things that is interesting for us experienced cachers too, because they're talking about, make sure you don't bring too much, make sure you're bringing the right amount. You're going to need water, you're going to need, some of these other things, pack right and, make sure that you have the right outerwear. And they had like the jackets and whatnot for the kids to play with. So it's kind of a good reminder too, to play with that. But one of the more interesting ones was a room that had a bunch of GPS receivers, both the Magellan consumer level and some cool professional level Trimble receivers. So that one, we kind of sat there and stared at for a while thinking, think about how much fun we could have placing caches with these really big, highly accurate receivers.
Yeah, that would be quite fun.
Yeah. And then really the last room was about geocaching, had a little bit of information on reading a topo map, had some different cache containers all glued and screwed down so that you couldn't steal them and use them yourself. And then a big display of travel bugs. And that one, really the topo thing was kind of interesting to look at because it's a nice little primer. And the travel bugs and stuff, it's just a big case with travel bugs, basically.
Okay. Now, if anyone in our chat room right now has been to the maze and would like to comment about it and tell about their experience, go ahead and give us a call. Our number is 724-444-7444. And our talkcast ID is 7525. Go ahead and press the request to talk button if you're in our chat room. If not, go ahead and press *8 on your keypad and we'll go ahead and get you in the line to talk. No, I guess one of the things is, did you find it, I mean, being a geocacher yourself, did you find that it was too too easy for you, or did you feel that it was definitely a good thing, and you found it okay, and you know, not too under your skill level?
Well, I think they did a really nice job in that it was a lot of fun for us to go through and solve these puzzles to get into the rooms. And part of this mission as you go in is you have to take that color-coded card I spoke about earlier, and in each of the rooms, there's a big metal box that's just basically a rubber stamp inside, and you have to stamp each of those cards, or you know, your one card in each of those rooms, and it has a code on it. When you're done and you get out, you have a big chart, and you have to match up that code. But just solving the problems to get into each of the rooms was pretty cool. I just kind of worry for the muggles that go through looking to get into caching that maybe they're going to get a little bit of a skewed aspect on what geocaching is, because normally most of the caches you hit don't have anywhere near that kind of analytical puzzle. It's going to be, you know, where is it hidden? And they didn't have a whole lot to really show you how caches are hidden in the maze. The closest thing they had to a real life cache was a little bus stop kind of booth set up. And they had a small cache is what I'd call it, but they called it a micro cache, stuck to the side in a magnetic container. So that's about as close as you got to actually seeing how caches are really hidden. The rest of the stuff, you know, was not what we would see when we're actually out on the trail.
Was there any surprises or anything that you didn't expect to see there I know in my mind, I've seen some of the pictures and I kind of know what to expect, I think, but did you find any like thing that surprised you that was there that you learned?
Well, I didn't really have any surprises. Overall, I was much more impressed that they had as much interactivity in a maze like that than I would have expected from a traveling maze. And the kids definitely would have gotten a kick out of it. Yeah, they had a lot of the different types of cache containers there on display. They had the requisite ammo can. And that was kind of cool because they had a plastic rock that they just slid it into, which that was pretty interesting. And again, I have photos of that there on the Flickr site. But overall, no big surprises. I did have a lot of fun going through it. It made it nice. You know, if I were going to be looking for something to do on a rainy day, if they could build something like this that was a little bit bigger and a little bit more complicated so that you get, you know, lost a little bit better, you know, this would be a lot of fun to do, you know, for a rainy day caching adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do want to mention, too, that Trip Cyclone actually put a very nice review of the maze when it was in, I believe he said it was Bridgeport, Connecticut, into our chat room. So we'll have to put that in the show notes and people can check that out for some different views of the maze than what I got. And in some cases, it's a lot better than what I got from my photos, to be honest.
He did say it was in Davenport.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, we'll go ahead and put that in our show notes too. Definitely go ahead and check that out.
That would have been Davenport, Iowa, yeah. But yeah, nice overall maze. Yeah, I really was impressed too with the Children's Museum space. That was an awesome space that they had there. Just really very interesting building. They had a couple of really cool things. In the 2.5 or so hours that we were there, I did get through and saw all of the exhibits, but most of them weren't terribly interesting because I've been through enough of the science museums and stuff and not, 8 years old anymore.
Yeah.
They did have a nice art exhibit too for people who like print work. They had some paintings and lithographs on display, and I think they have information about that exhibit too at the website, but your admission to the museum gets you into both those exhibits and all of the regular stuff.
Okay, again, if anyone has anything to put in here, if they've been to the maze and want to talk about it, our number is 724-444-7444, and our talkcast ID is 7525. Looks like we do have someone. Looks like Paul's in here would like to talk. Paul, welcome to the show. Have you been to the maze?
Hello, guys. Thank you. I went to the GPS maze when it was in Rochester, New York. It was a great cashing trip. Sorry about that. Great cashing trip up and back. But that was also my 1,000th find when we went to the maze. It was up in the museum up there in Rochester. We had a great time in the museum and going through the maze. And I really liked seeing all the old GPSs. I guess I'm a technical nerd. I like seeing the equipment and stuff like that. But really did have a good time going through it. Really enjoyed it. I thought it'd be a little bit more than what it was, but still very good. And I think it was more aimed towards younger people than to 40-plus age people.
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree with you on that point. But it does make a great milestone because, you know, you're not going to find those GPS maze icons very often. So you got a very unique icon for your 1,000th find.
Yes, I did. And I also had quite a few good friends go up with me, cash and friends. Really had a good time there. And that really made it there. So, I mean, I would recommend anybody going and seeing it, especially if they have children. It was a great time, and I really do think it was well done and well thought out.
Well, and I will say, too, it's a great way to get people into caching who maybe don't want to just go out and try it. You know, if you've got coworkers that might be interested with their kids, send them out to the maze. They have Magellan Triton units that you can borrow along with some phones with the Trimble software on them so that you can actually go out and try both of those options and find some of the caches around the museum.
I was going to say, I didn't realize that they had that stuff up there in Rochester. None of us asked since we already had GPSs and stuff, so we didn't realize that they had that if they had that available. Of course, they did have geocoins for the GPS maze in Rochester, New York, which, of course, I did buy at least one of those. So, it like I said, it is a good time, and it is very interesting, and I do think it's more aimed towards the younger people, and it probably would be a good way to get new people involved in it.
Definitely. Now, Trip Cyclone also asked if they had a Groundspeak lackey at the opening, and yes, they did send Jen, who's the new Shauna, out, and we did have a chance to chat with her a bit. They had a nice little, light snacks and coffee and beverage kind of service set up, so that was a lot of fun, and they had some of the people from Minotaur Mazes out there. And some of the local cachers were available, and they set up a nice little geocaching 101. So hopefully we saw a lot of new cachers in the area. Check it out, but don't know. We'll have to find out later.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Daryl, we want to thank you for your update on the maze. Again, it's something that I know I want to check out sometime. Hopefully it comes somewhere. I really missed it because I should have gone to it when it was in Muncie because that's not very, very far from me. But I didn't get a chance to do that. So hopefully it does come somewhere close to me again that I can go ahead and make it to. But
I'm hoping it hits somewhere like the Chicagoland area so I can go and get a second icon.
You know, two of those unique icons would be nice.
Yeah, well, it's also nice to have the excuse to go make a trip and get some caches that you wouldn't get otherwise. And, you know, we always like to add extra counties to our maps.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Well,
not to mention hopefully hitting a few extra virtual caches, which, normally I wouldn't have the chance to hit either.
You are on that kick of getting your virtual caches cleared from your list. So did you get any virtual caches this weekend? At the maze?
Well, I got a virtual cache, but there were no virtual caches in that region for us to hit. The virtual cache that I hit was actually a local one that's been kind of eluding us as to how to access it. So since we were with, for that maze, some friends of ours who have done that cache, we had them give us some tips, and they waited in the car while we went and did the cache. So we finally got that one cache done, and we only have two more in Detroit, and then we've got a whole bunch all over the place, but none of them are really, nice short day drive anymore.
Yeah, well, hopefully when you're up here for our little meetup, you'll get a chance to do some more. Well, we do have Trip Cyclone, who has requested to talk. So welcome to the show, Trip Cyclone.
Well, I'm not going to really add much else to the maze that Daryl and Paul haven't already said, because it pretty much everything they said about the maze is stuff that I'd agree with. But when you mentioned adding a second maze icon or I think Paul said that he got it first 1,000 milestone. I was thinking there is another option for something to do while you're trying to go to the maze. And when I went in Davenport, Web Scouter and I planned it so that that way we hit 10 cache icons in one day. And the GPS Venture Maze is one of those really hard to hit ones. So it's a good day to try and do a goal like that, try and get as many icons as you can in one day.
Yeah, we kind of did the same thing, but there weren't a whole lot of options out there, so we only got 7 icons.
Yeah, well, I think it was a 5-hour drive for me to get there from Kansas City, and we only were going to get 8. We had to drive from Davenport out probably about an hour and a half west to get the virtual, and then we had to make it all the way to Des Moines just to get the Warrego icon, because it's the only one in Iowa, or at least it was as far as we could tell. So we got it just barely under the radar, but yeah, we had to put on a lot of mileage to be able to get that many.
Yeah, it's pretty tough to get 10 icons anymore, period, now that the locationalists are gone as well. And you only have, what, 2? Well, you only have, what, 2 ape caches left now, I think?
Yeah, Washington and Brazil.
Yeah, so pretty much, I think if you're going to try for many more than like 8 or 9, you're probably going to have to head out to like Washington and do it there, because you got that extra cash icon there, and Groundspeak's kind of the capital of all cash activity, so they have all those icons out there.
Yeah, I think Fried Okra, and I said Kansas City, but he's Central Missouri. That's where he did it. When he was up there. I think a year or so ago, he got 13, and the only one he didn't get was the mega event.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of my plan, is I'm thinking I want to put forth a really serious effort to get as many icons as I possibly can right around the mega event, because you don't have that option very often either.
If you could only plan it around Geo Woodstock next year.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're planning on trying, is Geo Woodstock, see if we can't get a Where I Go, the Ape Cache, no. From what I understand, I think that's probably going to be a little bit ambitious to try to do all that in one day. Yeah, and I do want to hit Geo Woodstock and spend some time there, but maybe I'll modify to make it just over the course of the weekend, get as many cash icons as I can.
There you go.
All right, well, we want to thank everybody for coming out tonight and talking about the maze with us, those of you who have been to it. We also would want to remind you guys that Lisa from Cash Advance has donated $50 to spend at the Cash Advance store. And so to one of our lucky winners, and to win, all you'll need to do is, or to get in the drawing, all you'll need to do is starting in episode 124 for the whole month of October if you call in live. And by the way, 124 is next episode, so next week you can call in live and talk about your story that has summer caching story, something that happened to you this summer while caching, and you'll be entered into the drawing, and that drawing will take place on the first show in November. So get your stories ready and come ready to share, and you'll be entered into that drawing. So with that, join us next Tuesday and each Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444. And our TalkCast ID is 7525. Our show notes and all of our links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. You can call our voicemail line at 206-3503-GPS anytime and leave us a voicemail. Have a safe week and keep on caching.